Welcome to the Workshop Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Tamara.
Wow, smooth. I guess I can't say joining me today, but I'm going to anyway. Because
you're OCD.
Because I'm OCD, that's my script. But now you're not, she's here. So we're going to answer a question.
We got another question?
No, we attempted to record the answer to this question while we were driving at one point, and the recording wasn't quite as clear as I wanted it to be. So the initial response to this question is going to be published as a Patreon exclusive. So if you want to listen to it, sign up to Patreon and you can listen to it. But we'll kind of cover the same things, maybe have a different conversation. Well, we're guaranteed to have a different conversation in answering this question. But
with me, it's always a different conversation.
Yes. So for those of you who listen on Spotify, at the end of the Spotify, there's usually a poll there, what you thought about the episode. And you can leave comments and questions there. Or you can send them to questions@workshoptherapypodcast.com. Anyway, so answering this question from Spotify user CruiserMom4, how do you overcome perfectionism and the feeling of being responsible for everything? I don't know. I don't have the answer, especially when it comes to feeling responsible for everything. Overcoming perfectionism, I think I've overcome perfectionism because I've just given up.
I have not overcome perfectionism.
I haven't overcome perfectionism either. And I definitely feel responsible for everything though.
Interesting.
So what do you think? What's your answer?
Death.
Wow, you're dark today.
It's been a really long day. I think if I'm remembering our conversation correctly, which is probably highly unlikely, I don't think that you ever do. Like, it's something that you work on and you find strategies to deal with. But I think when you have like those perfectionist tendencies and that sense of responsibility, for me so far, I have yet to overcome it. I have some strategies that help me to deal with it better. And a big one for me is just realizing when I'm being a perfectionist versus when something really has to be done a certain way. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, I was cleaning your mom's oven the other day. And it's an older oven. Hadn't been cleaned in a while. And in my head, when I clean the inside of the oven, I want there to be no spots of anything left. And it was very, very difficult for me to leave spots. And I got interrupted during it. And I felt like I had to go and deal with those things. So there was like responsibility issues too. And I think at the end, I had to walk away from a job that I felt was not perfect at all, which meant it wasn't done in my head. Right. But I took a little bit of time after when I was putting the girls to bed and I was like, you know what? The oven is leaps and bounds above where it was. I am not going to be able to get it to where I want it to be. And that's okay. And for that particular job, it was okay. There are other times when I think striving for more perfection is an okay thing. But I think when it becomes toxic, when it's making you sick, honestly, therapy.
Yeah. And it's important to understand what is toxic perfectionism and what is beneficial perfectionism too. I know when we were in the car conversation, we talked a little bit about perfectionistic strivings and perfectionistic tendencies. So perfectionistic strivings are like intrinsic motivations that you have to be better at something or to improve and to produce your best work in whatever you're doing, whether it's a creative pursuit or your job or raising children or whatever it happens to be. Perfectionistic strivings are the intrinsic motivations that you are doing those things for you. And those typically aren't associated with negative mental health outcomes. Perfectionistic strivings and perfectionistic concerns are the two ways they're broken down. So perfectionistic strivings are the intrinsic motivations. Perfectionistic concerns are concerns around perfectionism in a I'm failing sense, or being concerned about other people's perception of what your output is.
Yeah.
So you're more concerned about, well, if I don't do X thing perfectly, somebody's going to see it and criticize me, or somebody's going to think I'm a failure, or somebody's going to think my kids are terrible, or I'm not going to be good at work, whatever your concern is. But when you have that outward focus of the perfectionism, then that's where the negative mental health outcomes are associated with.
Yeah. And I think keep in mind, I was reading something that was talking about those things, like, have you ever cleaned your house because you knew somebody was coming over and then they came over and the first thing out of your mouth when you walk through the door is like, oh, I'm sorry, my house is a mess. And you've just spent like an hour, 2 hours cleaning it, right? But you're like apologizing for it already. And that's, you know, like that extrinsic, it could be viewed as that. But I think that you also need to give yourself the grace to sit back and say, okay, this also comes from a place of unmet needs or things as a child that maybe you didn't do things perfectly, or that was the reaction that you grew up with, or the pattern of behavior you were taught. And I think for a lot of us who struggle with perfectionism, that's the case. It's the pattern of behavior that was ingrained in us. And it takes a long time to change those patterns and to make those things different. So start small.
Yeah.
You know, change one thing and see if you can handle that and if that makes things easier for you.
Yeah. So my internet friend, acquaintance, I don't know how he defines it, my internet friend Jeremy Spies recently posted something about falling off the bandwagon on his Peloton. You know what Peloton is?
I do.
You're so hip and with it.
Mm.
Anyway,
I do not have one, but I know what they are. Yes.
Yeah. So he fell off the bandwagon with his Peloton. He was, you know, daily
Peloton.
Yeah, that probably hurt more.
Mm.
Anyway, so he was
sorry.
ADHD much? So he was consistent for months and months and months, every day, and then missed a couple days, and then missed a week, and then hit one day, and then, you know, managed to do once a month or whatever for several months. And so he posted something to help him become more motivated again. And I think sometimes with perfectionism, you're never going to be perfect at everything.
But right? You want to
but,
be.
But you want to be. But you can be perfect if you set achievable goals. You know, like let's say we're in a situation of wanting to get back on the Peloton or whatever your exercise of choice is. You know,
we need to do that actually, because since the move, it's been kind of a wagon fall off for me.
It has been, yeah.
The wheels have come off the bus.
But we can start not necessarily by going, okay, well, tomorrow we're going to do 30 minutes a day every day for the next 6 months. Because honestly, that is kind of overwhelming, and that is a negative thing about perfectionism, because you're going to inevitably, something's going to come up and you're not going to be able to achieve that goal, and then you're going to feel like a failure. Whereas, let's use the Peloton for an example. We're not, this isn't a sponsored post at all. Although if Peloton wants to send us one, I wouldn't say no.
Where would we put it in our current situation?
Out on the lawn.
Lord.
Outdoor exercise.
That's how you overcome perfectionism. You want to know how you do it? You get married to someone who has crazy ideas and you go along with them and yep.
I know, that's exactly how I've been overcoming my perfectionism. Anyway, so Peloton, back to perfectionism. You can set a goal to, I'm going to sit on my Peloton every day. You know, and that's 100% achievable goal, because all you have to do is you have to walk over and then if you sit on it. And once you're on it, then you're going to maybe pedal for a minute or two. And therefore, you have achieved more than your goal. So you were perfect at your goal. And then once you're into the habit of that, you can add to that.
Well, I think, yeah, and if, like, habit stacking is important, and starting with small bits is important. And I think for me, lots of times, and when I think of this question, I think about it as like there's a fear of the imperfection. There's a fear of, it's really a fear of failure and a fear of, for me, and maybe this isn't for this person, for Cruiser Mom 4, but it's a fear of like being exposed as a fraud. And so you want to present this front of things are perfect. Look at, I've done everything right. I've given you everything. I'm 100% on everything I do because you're afraid. You're afraid somebody's going to be upset at you. You're afraid something's bad's going to happen. You're afraid of all of those things. And so maybe that perfectionism is really more anxiety.
Yeah. Well, and then that's where the, you know, perfectionistic concerns.
Yeah.
That's why it's a negative thing, is because it's
and
not.
It is. And it negatively affects your health. It makes your stress level go up, and it's all of those things. And I think the biggest thing that you can do is give yourself grace and talk to someone.
Yeah. And as I was scrolling through research, looking for answers, group therapy is something that's associated with it, because I think then you get into the, you know, if you're talking to a group, we all probably have a little bit of perfectionism in us,
yeah.
Or most people probably do to some extent. And so we can all, it's super easy to tell your friend, hey, you did a great job on that thing. Yeah, sure. There's problems in it, but overall it looks great. Everybody's going to say it looks great.
Uh-huh.
But as the creator, all we can focus on is the flaws and the problems and where it isn't perfect.
Yeah, and it develops into that all or nothing mindset. It has to be perfect or I'm not doing it at all. And that becomes debilitating and scary.
Yeah. And that's where therapy or group therapy especially can be very helpful, is you get into a communication with people who are in the same situation as you, who then can share, hey, I have this problem too, you know, I think your stuff is great. And then you can look at their thing and I think your thing is great.
Yeah.
You know, I think it helps you realize
barriers.
Yeah, helps you realize that the perfectionistic concerns are invalid.
Yeah,
and people who validate perfectionistic concerns are frankly not worth your time, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I do, and I think perhaps like that's why a lot more of it comes out as we become parents and as we move through life than maybe like it wasn't as bad in our 20s, because we were all still figuring things out. And we had a lot, for us, I feel like we had a lot more community then too. And then as you move away and you know, change new cities and change jobs and change careers and do all of these things, you lose that sense of people that you can talk to about things. And it almost becomes like that perfectionist facade becomes more important to you.
Mm-hmm. Because you're interacting with more strangers.
Yeah, and so you build that wall up more and more to a point where you don't even know it's there. You do know it's there, but you don't know what to do about it. And yeah, I think you're right. Like, group therapy, even just regular therapy, like, there's lots of options. BetterHelp is great for doing it at home, not sponsored, just saying.
Affiliate link in the description, though.
Yeah.
They're not paying us to say this.
No, but it's so helpful. I have done therapy having to go there, and to be able to do it in my own home was game changing for me. That being said, I do think that, like, it's one of those things that will be something that you always work on. And it doesn't make you a bad person, and it doesn't have to define you, right?
It doesn't have to define you either way. You don't have to be defined as a perfectionist, and you don't have to be defined as a failure.
No, and you can look at it as a, okay, you know what? Like, this is hard for me. This is something that I am working on. Celebrate your little wins. Celebrate when you have a good day. Celebrate when you're able to deviate a little bit, when you're able to do those things, which I think is kind of like habit stacking, but you know what I mean? Just finding those little things. And I think, like we talked about, I think it was the last episode, maybe it was a couple other while I was on with you, but we talk about, like, finding joy, because honestly, perfectionism is like, it sucks the joy, which is why it's so debilitating. So just focus on trying to find joy in the little things that you do. Do things to bring you joy just on purpose, whether they're great or not. Honestly, I love painting. Love painting. I didn't do it for years because it was messy and it was going to make a mess and I was going to have to clean it up. And it was, somebody might see my mess and they would see that I'm not tidy when I paint, which, you know, I am not tidy when I paint at all. It's a big mess. But I'm grateful that you helped me too, to see, like, to get a little watercolor set that was easier to clean up and didn't become so overwhelming with that it allowed me to do that and to be creative in a way that I love to be creative, but didn't push my boundaries so far that it was like once and then I can't do this again because I can't deal with the, you know what I mean? Okay. I've chatted enough.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, just, yeah, don't beat up on yourself.
Yeah, I think that's the
And
biggest.
that's easier said than done, right? Like, this is hard work we're talking about doing. This is hard therapy to do. This is the stuff that will change not only your life, but generations to come.
Yeah. And that's where, yeah, we go down the rabbit hole and all sorts of things. But
Not us. We're never people. No.
nah, I freaking live in the rabbit hole, it seems
Yeah.
like sometimes. Yeah. Like, gonna go down the rabbit hole.
Yep, you can't stop it. You can't. It happens.
Had a doctor appointment today, and we have a new doctor, and he's from Libya. And I've spent the entire day thinking about things that I know about Libya and things I don't know about Libya. And when I'm done this podcast, and as I'm waiting for it to upload, I'm probably going to look up Libya and the history of Libya so I know a little bit more about it.
Did you get the thing I sent you today that, like, ADHD people find each other?
Yes.
Neurotypical people tend to group together, and neurodiverse people tend to group together because,
So if all your friends have ADHD,
yeah.
I have news for you.
You might want to get that checked.
Anyway.
No, but I think on that though, this is a community of people who all want to be creative, and who all, and from my experience, perfectionism and creativity, it's often hand in hand,
Yeah.
right? And so you're not alone. This is tough. There isn't a one-stop solution, but there are some little things that you can do to change. Reach out.
And reach out on reach out on social medias, you know, send a message on YouTube or Facebook or even via the email questions@workshoptherapypodcast.com. And, you know, we're as ridiculous as it sounds to say, we're here to help. We are. I mean, that's the purpose of this podcast. It's to build a community around creativity and making, but also to help
the mental space that comes with that is a lot.
Yeah. And that's where a lot of my own mental health therapy comes from, is taking the moment to be creative. And, you know, I know for you, your art has been very much a therapy,
yeah,
for you. And so that's one of the purposes of this podcast, is if you're afraid to reach out to anybody else, you know, reach out to two anonymous people on the internet. And you can be anonymous. Share something, and we'd be happy to talk about it and give you some feedback and say, hey, you're great. Because that's the reality of it, is you are.
And because, like, this topic, this one little sentence has given us a lot to think about and talk about and look at in ourselves, in our kids, and how we want to address that and change that for the future. And for us, that will be more therapy. It will be little habit changes, little things at a time.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. Like I said about this specific question, we've had a 20-minute, 30-minute conversation about it already once.
Yeah.
And we've had other ones in the meantime that we haven't recorded.
Yeah.
And so yeah. More comments are always appreciated.
Yep.
And don't ask this very much. Should probably ask it a lot more. We've kind of plateaued a little bit on the growth of the podcast. It grew quite quickly to begin with, surprisingly so, and I really appreciate everybody who started listening right off and who's still listening. But we really need your help to grow it a little bit more. So if you can, when you listen to this episode, if you could share a clip of it or something that stood out to you on your social medias and tag us in it, that would be great. So we can, you know, reach out to more people and grow a bigger community of people who are like-minded and want to support each other to overcome things like perfectionism, like, you know, like the fear of failure and not doing our exercise on time and whatever the issues that we're working on together.
We should make a group of people just to, you know, exercise together for mental health.
Exercise for mental health. That's actually something that I talked about with Mark the Wood Whisperer when he was on, is why he did his mental or really his physical health exercise group thing.
Oh.
But anyway. So yeah, if you guys
next
could
week.
We're gonna start next week. If you guys could reach out and share the show with people, we'd appreciate it. It would really make a big difference to the growth and help us reach a few more people and hopefully help that many more people every day. So again, thank you, Cruiser Mom 4, for your inspiration. And I hope this was helpful to you. And if it was, reach out and say hi. And, you know, it's entirely possible that I've interacted with you or we've interacted with you and don't actually know who you are.
That's true.
But yeah, we appreciate it. So with that, our previous conversation will be uploaded to Patreon if you want to listen to that. So you can always go and sign up there too. That would be good. Do you have anything else to say?
Have a good weekend.
That's a good note to end on. So if you found anything from this episode to be helpful and you want to reinforce it for yourself, I'd like to invite you to share it with a friend in the next 24 hours. That'll help reinforce it in your mind and it'll help those around you. which is always a good thing. So thanks again for listening, and now I'd like to say thank you to all the amazing patrons of the Workshop Therapy Podcast. You guys make the show possible. If you're finding the show helpful and you want to support it, there are a few tiers, including a simple $1 a month option to just say thanks. For $5 a month, you can get access to the patrons-only feed that has a pre-show and a post-show, in addition to the regular podcast all in one feed. You all know that the good stuff happens after the official mics are off, right? If you can't support financially, I totally understand, but I'd love it if you left a 5-star review or told a friend about the podcast. If you have any questions or feedback, I'd love to hear that as well. Send it to questions@workshoptherapypodcast.com and I'll get it on the show. I want to say thank you to all the patrons of the Workshop Therapy Podcast, but especially to the founding fathers, and they are Mr. Matthew Serio from Argiano Serio, Mr. Brad Harrison of Brad's Customs, Mr. Keith Drennan of Blackthorn Concepts, Mr. Eric Peterson of Overall Maker Works, Mr. Brandon Millichamp of Tectonic Creations, and the one and only the Grant Alexander. So a special thank you to the founding fathers, and thank you to everybody who supports and shares the Workshop Therapy Podcast.